Welcome back to Ring of Fire. I'm here with Bobby Kennedy. Since we started Ring of Fire, we've devoted dozens of segments to covering the problems with U.S. voting system, especially when it comes to electronic voting machines. And most of those segments were made possible by the hard work and the investigation done by Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Brad's been leading the charge against voting machine manufacturers for years and has uncovered everything from voting irregularities to outright fraud by some of these companies. He's been working closely with us, in fact, in our effort to bring these companies to justice, and he joins us now to give us an update on those efforts, along with Matt Schultz, an attorney who filed a lawsuit against Hart InterCivic for defrauding the federal government. You know, Brad, all the way back to 2006, you followed the Raymond LeMay story, and you tracked down, really, it's an ugly story. I mean, it's alleged suicide of Raymond LeMay, investigator who tracked down claims of voter rigging by Congressman Tom Feeney. That's, you know, people have a recognition of you in, being involved in that story. Of course, the Ann Coulter voter fraud issues in Florida, several stories that people know about. But I want to talk to you about a case that you also uncovered that we were involved with because involved a whistleblower case. And, you know, first of all, I think what's important about this story is what you created is a whole source, a source of information that people can go to with your site. And it's a hugely successful progressive site. But before you put all this together, there was really nothing out there that talked about specifically voter fraud, was there?
Well, and actually we're more talking about election fraud than voter fraud, since voter fraud is so rare. But
right.
Yes, election fraud. I was one of the few folks who were willing to actually investigate and report on this stuff, largely after 2004, when the rest of the media had moved on. They decided that because John Kerry didn't challenge the election, that they didn't care to either. They seem to have forgotten their fourth estate role as the watchdog for the people. They don't work for John Kerry. You know, they're supposed to be working for us. So that's sort of where I picked up the ball and have been investigating these stories. And you mentioned the Ray Lemmy story that comes out of Clint Curtis. And by the way, since you're down in Florida, Clint Curtis is running for Congress down there. He's trying to step up as a citizen to fight this same thing. Not a lot of us out here, but there are at least more growing every day.
So yeah, what I notice with your site, though, is it's really not just about election fraud. It's a lot of progressive issues. In other words, the site takes you really to all of the progressive issues that are taking place out there, with the emphasis on voting. And do you think the site built out of the issues about voting fraud, or how did it build so quickly? I mean, it's regarded as one of the more important progressive sites out there right now.
Well, yeah, I think it was, like I said, because I was willing to investigate those things that so much of the corporate media and even so much of the blogosphere out there was not willing to investigate. So I covered those things. But, you know, you're right. It's not an election site. It's a progressive site. But we find if you want to fight for progressive issues, you have to fight to make sure that people can vote. You have to fight to make sure that they can have their vote counted and counted accurately. And you got to fight for things like media reform and so on and so forth. So it's not about, to me, I follow the issues that are about right and wrong, not necessarily right and left, certainly not necessarily about Democratic and Republican. You know, it's about those progressive issues. And I think a lot of sites out there that call themselves progressive sort of lose track of that, and they think of themselves as Democrats. But this is about progressivism, and it doesn't always fall in line with the Democratic Party. Or the Republican Party, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So the way we come into this story is one thing that happens with your site, I mean, it's just an expansive site, people follow it, is you have, sometimes you'll have people call you with kind of inside information that mainstream media simply ignores, that they can't, these people can't make any inroads in actually telling their story. You take the story, you investigate the story, and you put them together. One case that I want to talk to you about is a case we were involved with. It's the Singer case. I have, you know, Matt Schultz. He's with us. Matt, can you hear us okay?
I can.
So let's lay this case out a little bit, because I think there's so many different parts to this about, you know, where QI-TAM is headed, where one of the important tools for being able to enforce some of these voter irregularity cases might be going. Just give us the 10,000-foot, Brad, first of all, of how the case came to you initially.
Yeah, well, it was one of those cases, again, after 04, when I was investigating and everyone else was ignoring some, you know, I would sort of became known for reporting on important whistleblower cases. Most notably, you pointed out that Clint Curtis case. And so whistleblowers began coming to me with information that they were not able to get out otherwise. Now, it's always difficult, as you know, dealing with whistleblowers and sort of filtering through the, you know, the crackpots and the legitimate cases and so forth. But one of those cases was Will Singer, who had been working for Hart InterCivic and ESNS down there in Texas. Mm-hmm. And prior to the 2004 election, he had sent letters to these secretaries of state of Ohio and Texas warning them about what he had seen, about the fraud that he had seen at this company, Hart InterCivic, while he was working there. They, by and large, ignored his letters entirely. And they were those letters in and of themselves were stunning, because here you have an employee of the company saying, hey, here's what I saw. And here is the very specific criminal fraud that I saw going on.
And so some of them were firsthand misstatements that were made by Hart in their attempts to win voting system contracts, misstatements that were made to conceal the problems with the voting machines. All of these things were things that he was actually seeing firsthand. And in a sense, he was saying what's happened is that the company has cheated the federal government by falsifying that information and falsifying the accuracy and the security of these voting machines. And as a result, the government should be paid money back because the machines were no good. I mean, as you could almost say for, you know, you go to the, down the line, Diebold, ESS, and Sequoia, you have these similarities here. This case ended with us actually bringing the case and then having to really pull out of the case because of some elements that took place. I mean, the buck stops with me. I mean, I'm the person that accepted the case and then had to make the decision of what to do with it once I started getting advice from, I think, some of the best lawyers in the country, one of which is right here on the phone with us. Matt, you there?
I am here, Mike.
What happened? We filed the case with the U.S. Attorney's Office. What happened after that?
We did. We filed in June of 2006, and under the False Claims Act, the federal law that governs these whistleblower suits, the Department of Justice has a first look, if you will, at the case. We met with Department of Justice officials out in Colorado where the case was filed, the state where Hart operates out of. The Department of Justice kept it under seal for roughly 18 months while they analyzed the case, decided whether they thought they would proceed with it. They ultimately decided they would not. You never exactly know the reasons why DOJ makes these decisions. They're not terribly forthcoming. You can imagine with this one, you are talking about one of the hottest political issues there is. And while I would not attribute any misconduct to the DOJ lawyers who were on this case, who seemed very forthright with us, we know that the DOJ has had lots of problems, lots of political issues over the last couple of years. Go ahead.
One thing on this case, though, and I mean these were concerns that I had and anybody who was familiar with the case that you had and all the attorneys involved with it, was that the case was under seal for 2 years. And nearly two complete years. And as this was happening, every time we would approach an election, my thought was, well, you know, is it being kept under seal simply because they don't want any publicity about this? And then, you know, you almost have to say when they say, well, they want an extension, you have to say, well, you know, give us an extension. And so what ended up happening here in the end was, the law changed. And I know, Brad, you and I have talked about this. I know you're unhappy about the way that this turned out because you have worked so hard on trying to develop this area of litigation. And I hate that you're unhappy about it. But I do want to talk about what the law is that changed. What happened that caused literally every attorney involved here to say, you know, gee whiz, I don't know if we can do anything here.
And before Matt gives you that background, let me just sort of broaden out just a bit further so people understand. Even though these election voting system contracts are a state-by-state deal, they are cashing in on federal money. The Help America Vote Act of 2002, which put out almost $4 billion for these new voting systems specifically. And when that happened, there was a gold rush amongst those companies, Mike, that you mentioned, you know, Hart, ESNS, Diebold, Sequoia, to get at that federal money. And they were willing, it seems, to do just about anything. And Will Singer's case outlines exactly what it was that Hart was willing to do. And after Bobby, just to sort of bring it full circle here, and then I'll pass over to Matt, but Bobby had written his terrific article in Rolling Stone about the problems in 04, and I spoke with him about that, worked on that with him, and gave him an idea of some of these whistleblowers that we had been reporting, that while they had been making all kinds of news at Bradblog, the mainstream media and the legal community was largely ignoring them, and that's when Bobby and you jumped in and said, well, hey, let's take this whistleblower, William Singer, and bring this federal case, because it's a very serious case. Of course, that was before the 06 election, and the DOJ kept stalling, as you said. They wouldn't agree to come on it or not come on it. And so for almost 2 years, we sat there as election after election happened until they finally decided they didn't want the case. It was able to unseal it, but an intervening Supreme Court decision had come along that really, I think, changed the whole landscape, not just for this case, but for all of these whistleblower-type cases at the federal level.
Guys, we have to take a quick break. We're going to be right back to talk more. And make sure you check out bradblog.com for all of your up-to-the-minute voting news, as well as other great pieces that mainstream media probably is not going to report. I'm Mike Papantonio here with Bobby Kennedy, and we'll be right back with more Ring of Fire right here on Air America Radio. Back on Ring of Fire, I'm Mike Papantonio. Right now, we've got one of the best voices in the progressive community today, Brad Friedman, who's been following the voting machine fiasco since those stories first broke. Also online is attorney Matt Schultz, who filed a lawsuit against these voting machine companies for fraud. Let's talk about, let's pick up with this. This was not only a disappointment to me, it was a disappointment to all the attorneys involved, and I certainly know it was a disappointment to Brad, who, you know, I'd love to say that most lawyers I know more about this election fraud than most people, but I'd have to say that Brad knows as much as most any lawyer specializing in this area. So with that, Matt, tell me, what is it that caused you the most concern as you started looking at this case after a two-year delay by the Department of Justice, after time and time again us scratching our head and saying, what's going on here? All of a sudden, the law changes. How does it change?
Sure, and maybe the best place to start, Mike, is to tell you what didn't concern us. What did not concern us was Will Singer, the relator, a computer tech with Hart InterCivic, who had received simply glowing employee evaluations, referring to him as having a high level of expertise and bringing a great spirit to his work. You're talking about a guy who put his neck out on the block knowing that he would be finished in the election industry if he reported publicly the problems that he had raised internally with Hart InterCivic time and again. Despite that, before he ever talked to a lawyer, before he even talked to Brad, as Brad mentioned, he wrote some secretaries of state in Ohio and Texas to try and raise this issue and bring public awareness to it. When that did not prevail, he ended up contacting Brad, and through Brad, we made contact with him. He is a stand-up guy trying to do the right thing who has been, unfortunately, had his legs cut out from under him by Antonin Scalia and company, which is something that I guess is really at the root of this.
But where does it head? Brad, where does it head if our interpretation of what Scalia is doing here, where does this end?
Well, you know,
if we're right about Scalia.
Yeah, well, you know, as Matt said, Will Singer, one of the first things he said to me was, you know, a whistleblower does not look real good on your resume. So it's kind of hard to get a job after that.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, and he's been wrestling, knowing that he was going to be wrestling with finding a job, getting work, and so forth, but he felt this was so important that he had to do the right thing.
Right.
Then you get Scalia coming along with this this decision while the DOJ was sitting on that case for almost 2 years. So Scalia comes out in this Rockwell decision. You guys are better able to speak about it than I. It really makes it difficult for folks like you, Pap, and Matt, your firm, to be able to afford to take on these cases when at the end of the road, as Scalia decided, you may not be able to even recover your, the fees that you're taking on to take on a case like this.
Matt, where do we go from it? I mean, you know, I'd like to, I mean, you, you know, what is the next plan? How do you overcome? You know, Bobby and I so many times have gone on the show and called Scalia fascist because, frankly, he is a fascist. His design is very clear what he wants to do here. The idea of a decent man like Singer coming forward and pointing out just nothing but thuggery crime is it almost can't do it, because what law firm or what lawyer is going to put out the millions of dollars it takes to get that case to trial and then at the end of the day have the government say, well, thanks for doing that, but we don't owe you anything? I mean, it's the free market system that's turned up on its head, isn't it?
That's right. And Mike, that's why this story is so interesting on so many levels. It not only does it involve election integrity, not only does it involve the whistleblower statute, but what it really comes down to is these judges on the U.S. Supreme Court who purport not to, quote, legislate from the bench, unquote, when in fact what they do is they put an agenda in front of themselves and they tick off case after case after case. If it's the Equal Protection Clause, well, it's fine for George Bush in the Bush v. Gore decision, but everyone else, you're going to have to wait in line. If it's civil rights attorney's fees, well, if we take away the attorney's fees, we don't have these irksome civil rights cases any longer. If it's habeas corpus at Guantanamo, look where judges like Judge Roberts and Judge Scalia came out on that issue. Thankfully, they were outvoted on that particular
one. So you close down the process by closing down the free market. You say basically to a law firm that, you know, obviously, Brad, as you know, we're not afraid of the big fight. We took on tobacco. We take on DuPont. We take on literally the biggest pharmaceutical and environmental cases in America. But what is the next move? If I represent to you that it is almost an impasse if this gets any worse with the Supreme Court, well, then it becomes kind of necessary for citizens media to do what they can. And that you are at the heart of citizens media. I mean, again, I started this conversation by telling you that what's evident to everybody who's a progressive, Brad Blog is a key source of information. So is that powerful enough? Is it meaningful enough to overcome what we have to overcome here?
It's not. And, you know, though you can sometimes attain the bully pulpit via the media, and with a case like Will Singer, as I said, you know, traffic went through the roof. People read his story. They were outraged by it. But if you can't take it the next step, there's a very serious question about what to do, where to go from here. If you've got the legal system cut out from under you, we've already lost our corporate mainstream media. That's out from under us. We're fighting to clean up the electoral system so that we can, restore people to power who, you know, actually voted for. But we lose that. Our avenues are really being cut off here. And I don't mean to, maybe I do mean to sound the alarm. But we have a serious situation here where you can't vote the bad guys out because the machines don't work, and it's very difficult to go to court and
you
do
can't,
anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and when you catch them, as the facts here are clear. What you represented in this case is absolutely everything true about what you represented, which is this is bad conduct. There's no question. It's bad conduct. And for us to say, and for us to have to say, we don't know if we can take it to the next step because there's no happy ending here, because the Supreme Court continues to get worse. With the ruling we have, we already know we have almost insurmountable problems. So I think what it does is it puts into perspective to me the importance of what you're trying to do, what I'm trying to do, what Air America's trying to do, what all of these progressive emerging organizations are trying to do. You know, perhaps it can't take place with just one part of the citizens media, but I really am optimistic to the point to where the level of discussion is rising to the point to where they can't ignore it anymore. And I you look at the numbers of the way that political policy is changing in America, and it's changing at the heart of the citizens media, really, Brad, at the heart of what you're doing with the Brad Blog. So
in that vein, I think people the media aspect is interactive these days. And along those lines, so that people understand exactly what was lost with this lawsuit, with the Rockwell decision preventing us from being able to vindicate the wrongdoing by heart. I would urge everyone listening to this program, Mike, to go up to Brad's blog where he posted our 45-page complaint that outlines all of the misdeeds of Hart InterCivic, from its failure to beta test its machines, setting up dummy machines for presentations in the state of Ohio, rebuilding votes, secretly rebuilding votes when the machines go down during real-world elections. And there are a host of real-world election problems that came from the use of these flawed machines.
And Scalia
should go out there. Go out there and read this so they know exactly what is at stake in these cases.
But Scalia says it's not important. Okay, Brad, look, good work as usual. I hate that I couldn't carry this across the goal line. I know you wanted me to. I feel terrible that I couldn't, but I hope you understand.
Well, I do understand. It's hard to cross the Supreme Court of the United States, that's for sure. I will say this one thought, though. You know, much as the folks in the blogosphere and on the progressive media have begun to rebuild the media where the old mainstream dinosaurs have failed us, we might need to start thinking about how to rebuild the legal system, because I can tell you, I've got so many folks coming to me with some serious problems they run into during elections, and with cases like William Singer, we really need a place to go.
An organized consortium.
Get some lawyers, that's right, and take some of these cases there and not have to worry about millions and millions of dollars, but, legal activity that could get the job done that needs to be done, because there's nobody fighting for the voters right now, by and large, and we really need some champions to be able to do that.
Brad Friedman, Brad Blog, one of the hardest workers in the blogosphere. Thanks for joining us, both you guys. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks for everything.
Matt Schultz and Brad Friedman, two great American patriots working to protect one of the most basic rights of our democracy, the right to vote. If you want more history on the voting machine failures, visit bradblog.com, one of the best blogs on the web today. Coming up on the show, best-selling author John Perkins. He's going to be here to tell us about how corporations have taken over the world and what we ought to do to try to stop them. We'll be right back, so stay with us. Mike Papantonio and Bobby Kennedy on Ring of Fire, right here on Air America Radio. We'll be right back.